Let's get to our guest, Cameron Brandt, Director of Research at EPFR, to take a look at markets. Cameron, earlier this year, I found myself asking the question to many guests, once we get the China reopening and once we get the Fed to peak in terms of hawkishness, how do you like the notion of a big rebound? And we've got sort of both of those things in the back pocket now, and somehow we're not uncorking the champagne. Why?
Well, I think in both cases there's a big asterisk. China has effectively abandoned zero COVID, but now we have to get through the COVID that's been unleashed before the presence under the tree can be opened. But money is still chasing that rebound. In the case of the U.S., the Fed has not unequivocally said that the pivot is close. It's still, trying to keep its options open in case inflation proves stickier. So, there really isn't a reason to open the champagne on the U.S. interest rate side just yet.
Cameron, just to follow up on China, how much of this China risk has been factored in by markets? Could China news drive assets even lower now in 2023?
I think so. I think, it's very hard to gauge risk in China. Official data is fairly, carefully curated. And we really don't know quite how the sort of post-restriction COVID wave will run. It does seem that the Chinese leadership has sort of realized that, there are consequences to some of the actions they've taken, and we are seeing modest relaxations of restrictions that have hobbled the tech and property sectors. I think we all know that the authorities there will react pretty strongly if the uncertainty and slowing economic growth causes any kind of social issues.
Well, there's so much negativity. I find myself wanting to push back on it a little bit. I think we're overthinking it if we're trying to turn the China reopening into a negative. Yes, it's possible that the virus will be spread, but then the virus has more or less weakened over the past 3 years, which is kind of what happens with these viruses, is they mutate to save themselves, and they get weaker in the process. Can you not at least realize that people, once given freedom, they'll get out there and spend? It might take a little while.
Well, there's certainly, a lot of the investors we track, and we do it through the mutual fund lens, they've been in your camp more or less consistently, certainly since the middle of this year. We're looking at yet another inflow into dedicated China funds this week. So, the rebound may not come quite as quickly, but, we're seeing a very solid consensus that it will come.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing for me, I felt myself, even as a journalist and not as an advisor on investing, very negative on China when the common prosperity was, job one. And the tough regulation and the anti-private sector policymaking from Chinese officials, coupled with the COVID lockdowns, it was very easy to be negative. But now almost all of that has changed, and we don't know if it's sustainable, but it seems like that has moved in a different direction, hence the positivity.
Yes. No, and certainly in a short time frame, I think you're right. In the longer term, what has happened in China between the regulatory action against various areas in the private sector and the COVID lockdown is a very strong signal that, the interests of foreign investors and indeed domestic investors are almost completely secondary to the perceived needs of the state. And I think people will remember that for a while.
Hmm.
Cameron, people will also remember that 2022 is the year of tightening, and 2023 will likely be the year of living with a tightening. How much pain will this cause, you think?
I think there's definitely some more pain to come. We understandably tend to focus on interest rates because those cross both the policy and the day-to-day living continuum. But I still think that the balance sheet reduction hasn't gotten the attention it might deserve. It does seem to me that a lot of sources of demand for U.S. treasuries are sort of on the wane, which could send another shock through the market. And if the ECB sticks to what it said after its last policy meeting, that it will start running down its balance sheet starting in March, I can easily see, certainly in the first half of next year, quite a bit more pain.
Right. So, Cameron, having said that, what will further QT mean for risk assets, for liquidity? How will this play out?
Sorry, I didn't hear the first bit of that.
What will further QT mean for risk assets and liquidity?
It will mean a serious repricing.
They're taking away the punch bowl. That's what it is.
And that sort of brings Italy and other heavily indebted European nations back into play. The high yield universe in the U.S. Has been pretty richly valued for some time. So, again, there is definitely an underlying assumption that once the pain reaches a certain point, central banks will back off.
Okay, so let's set aside China and the Fed, because those have been the two major negatives for equity prices. Are there some countries in Southeast Asia, for instance, that would be beneficiaries of the China story that you like?
Well, I'll be interested to see if there's a pivot there. The countries in Southeast Asia that have been getting the most attention recently, or attention in terms of positive flows to funds dedicated to them, are Vietnam and the Philippines, and they're very much supply chain relocation out of China stories. I'm going to keep a close eye on Thailand because it's obviously suffered considerably with the almost complete drying up of the Chinese tourist trade. And I think when people develop a conviction that the rebound we started this conversation with is underway, that Thailand will be one of the markets there that will really benefit.
Cameron, we have to leave it there.
Yeah.
Cameron Brent, Director of Research.
I was going to ask him in 15 seconds what his number one conviction is. Just give us your number one pick at the moment.
Well, in the short term, funnily enough, the number one pick is Turkey. Everyone is piling into that at the moment.
Okay, we'll save the discussion on why for another time, Cameron. Out of time, unfortunately. Cameron Brand, Director of Research at EPFR.